Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow, I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
What do you know about the multiverse?
I'm sorry, Steven. You understand. The greatest threat to our universe is you.
Things just got out of hand.
Hello and welcome back to this Fan Critical Podcast, which is being brought to you from Earth 543 with myself, Len, and Miniman Gaz. Hello, Gaz.
Hello. 543, is that, I can't remember. Is that our Earth, is it?
Nah.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm cataloguing all of the dimensions, and that is what I have catalogued our Earth as. Do you think there is a reality or a dimension
where I'm taller
where
than you?
You are tall. Yes, that's exactly right, Gareth.
So,
have you read my script?
So predictable. Do you reckon there's a reality where you have any form of banter that doesn't involve me being average height? Because yeah. I am. I'm just below average, so that's fine.
Yeah.
You know.
It's because of China and that. But here's the next one. Do you think there's a dimension out there where John is an optimist or the hype man and I am the negative one?
Well, I think that's ludicrous. I mean, the me being tall thing, yes.
Yeah.
I reckon, like, if there was a universe where John was positive, like, reality would collapse in on itself. It couldn't. That's unstable. That's unstable. It's not lasting.
It's what they call in the business, I believe, a paradox.
Correct.
Gareth, it's just one of those things that we can't fathom. Yeah. And therefore, the universe would destabilize. And not even the Book of Ashanti would save it, yeah? So, anyway, we're here, myself and Gareth, to continue what I kind of think is a never-ending bout of Marvel coverage.
Be mad if we were just doing like Stranger Things or something, wouldn't it, after all that?
Would be a bit mad. That has different dimensions in it as well.
True.
So works. Does work. And that's coming out later this month. So finally something else other than Marvel. Pluggy. We're here to discuss the latest installment in the MCU, which is called Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness, directed by the very talented Sam Raimi. Now, Gareth, I would say that the most popular phrase on this podcast in recent times is us saying, especially you and John to an extent, how fatigued you are with Marvel. You know, fatigue. You keep going, oh, je suis fatigué. And I'm like, chill out, mate. You know, there's some good stuff coming up soon.
Yeah.
Like Spider-Man, which we enjoyed. And now Multiverse of Madness.
Yep.
So my question to you, Mini-Man.
What is this? What is this nickname? I don't understand.
Don't know. I just came up with it today. Are you still fatigued, my little companion?
Yeah.
Are you still fatigued or are you energized for more MCU adventures? So encapsulated in this answer, please, I would like, and this is tradition now, spoiler-free thoughts until after the old advert.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Blue Bit. Give it those sweet, delicious blueberries.
Juicy bloobs.
Mm. Yes. Important that you put the L in there. Otherwise, it's crazy.
Cancelled immediately. Well, I think implicit within your question are two separate questions, young Alex, and they have different answers, I'm going to be honest. So, am I still fatigued with Marvel or am I energized by Marvel? No, I'm not looking forward to more Marvel. I'm really not. I am so bored of those opening titles. And that music. I'm sick of it. I've had enough. I'm not rushing out to see the next one. That said, did I like Spider-Man? Yes. It was a very good film. Not as good as you thought, but it was a very good film. I gave it 4 blueberries. Did I enjoy Doctor Strange? Yes, I did. Very much. I thought it was a very good film. And, you know, I don't think these are kind of mutually dependent kind of questions. Like, I can enjoy these films in isolation and not be excited about the prospect of another one. And, you know, yesterday when we went to see it, I did kind of go there in a good frame of mind. I was looking forward to it. It was Monday evening, little cinema trip with you. Deliberately hadn't had any dessert and went for an extra long run. So I was like, I'm going to treat myself at this cinema. I did. Got a little ice cream, didn't I?
Not my bag. You know, I've never understood this ice cream at the cinema nonsense.
Yeah.
But I did see that you, for once, got your little mitts into my sweets, which is everyone who listens to this podcast knows. I get myself a large drink, but then I also get a salty popcorn, and then I tip a whole bag of M&Ms in there, mix it all up, and get that salty, chocolatey goodness. Gareth couldn't keep his little Mini-Man mitts away.
Okay.
They're rustling around in there trying to find the M&Ms.
I really was. I ate so many of them in about 2 minutes. Yeah. And then
delicious.
I was like, I better stop for a minute. And you know when you sort of pause for a second from eating for ages and then you're like,
you feel sick.
It's just caught up with me. That was a mistake. I also, when I got home, realised I dropped a bit of chocolate from my ice cream on my T-shirt.
Yeah.
Disaster on the snack front. But I was looking forward to it as a popcorn cinema trip, and that's what I got. And it's a good film. It has some elements that I loved. I thought it had, obviously this is all spoiler free, but I thought it had some elements that kind of felt like a bit of a throwback. Felt a little bit like a 90s movie at times, which I quite liked. There were a few kind of Lovecraftian moments, which I'm a big fan of. Love the art, not the artist. Some of the multiverse stuff was cool. I don't think they went crazy enough with it, or as crazy as they could have gone. But you know,
we'll get onto that.
Yeah. And there were just one or two things, like one major kind of plot point or development that I just thought was a little underdeveloped. That was a bit of an issue for me. But look, overall, did I enjoy myself at the cinema yesterday watching this film? Very much so. Yeah. And it gets four blueberries again.
There you go. Four lovely blueberries.
But am I excited by the next installment? No.
Thor, Love and Thunder. Thought you'd be up for that one. Guardians, Thor, Korg, Taika Waititi directing.
I'll go and
watch
it.
You are pretty excited for that one. Yeah,
maybe.
Yeah, take your comments back. Retract them right now. I've got another question before I get into my thoughts, Gareth, because it dawned on me watching this film, more so than any Marvel film to this point, because obviously Marvel has decided to make TV shows now, and they've got a fucking load of them. You know, WandaVision, What If, Moon Knight's just come out, it had Falcon and the Winter Soldier, fucking Hawkeye, like, and these TV shows now are like fucking homework. Like, if you haven't seen WandaVision, this film loses all emotional impact for me. Like, you have to have seen that show to understand essentially a huge motivator in this film. And I think that's a problem.
Agreed.
Because I'm going to be honest with you, the TV shows are fine. Loki is the good one, the real good one, right? And I think that even is sort of required viewing for some of this to understand some of the multiversal shit. But yeah, it just dawned on me when I was watching it. I was like, wow, if you haven't seen WandaVision, you're fucked.
Yeah.
Like, you're just not gonna get something out of this film. Anyway, and I digress. I
mean, it's, you know, how much lore are they building on? I mean, I know obviously there's original source material lore, but even just the films of the last kind of, how long? I don't know, 20 years, 15 years. There is so much, and if you miss one of them, it costs you massively.
Yeah,
I think that's what happened to me.
It does, and
that's why I lost the energy, because I missed a couple of beats once, and then I'm lost. But
yeah.
Anyway,
well, you know, here's the thing, Gareth. I'm gonna come to my thoughts on the movie now. Spoiler free, of course. And you know, I have to say, I did a very good job of remaining spoiler free for this film before I went to see it, right?
So
because there's a lot of stuff floating around out there. Some of these people trying to ruin films for people. But the one thing I did catch was a lot of people's reviews. Yeah, so they crept through the little holes in my Twitter feed and my sort of personal viewing, and I was a bit worried. I'm not going to lie to you, because a lot of these reviews were like a bit meh and a bit saying, yeah, it's all right. Nothing special. So I went in thinking it's just going to be another sort of formulaic Marvel movie, which would be a huge shame, because I think Sam Raimi is a fantastic director.
Yeah.
And I was hoping that we're going to get some serious horror, you know, moments in this film, because I think Doctor Strange, more so than any of the other characters, really does lend itself to some scary shit, like mind-bending, like that Lovecraftian thing you mentioned, Gareth, where you can't quite get your head around stuff.
Yeah.
Like that sort of crazy, insane, inducing, you know, cosmic element that we don't necessarily get from a lot of the other MCU participants. Mm. So I was bloody pleasantly surprised that this movie actually felt like a perfect comic book movie, because it felt like this was like an extended run of issues, like maybe like 5-issue series of comics that had been translated to the big screen, and they had like this guest author and illustrator come in and do this like little series.
Yeah.
And it kind of felt like that to me anyway. It felt like it was its own self-contained story, which obviously is going to lean into something bigger, but, and I felt like it did have those moments. Like, I was watching this film, like, with Sam Raimi in my mind, going like, Evil Dead, love it. You know, that campy horror style, it does Drag Me to Hell, those other films. And there's so many of those moments in this film that anyone who reviews this film and says, oh, it's just another Marvel movie, I'm like, well, I don't think it is.
No,
I think there's a lot in here.
It is different.
That is different.
Yeah.
Like, Yeah, the main beats in terms of, you know, we'll talk about in the spoiler section, villains and whatnot and stuff. I mean, there's some interesting stuff there as well. But I get that it's formulaic in that sense. But in the other sense, some of the stuff you see in this film, and I'm just going to say this right now in the spoiler-free section, there's actual gore in this movie. You know, there is some of the most brutal deaths you're going to see in a Marvel film. Bear in mind, this has got to appeal to kids.
There are a couple of kids in, a discussion. In the screening yeah. that we're in, and I felt yeah, terrible
there's a,
for
there's a genuine, Yeah, there's a genuine discussion going on at the moment about whether this should have been rated more strictly for the younger audience.
I think it should have. I really think it should.
I read some people's reviews going, it's not scary. Look, and I love horror movies, and I'm not saying it is scary, but I'm saying there's stuff in there that if you're a kid that's like 10 years old, there's some stuff in there that's pretty scary.
If you're a kid who's like 33 years old, there's some stuff that's scary.
Yeah, damn straight. And I'll say I love that shit. I was all in for that. I was loving those moments. I think you're completely right. Multiverse of Madness, I mean, I'm thinking I need to see at least 5 or 6 universes, Gareth.
Yeah.
We probably get like 3 at best in this.
I mean, 2.5 probably.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm saying, like, you know, they didn't really lean into enough of the multiverse for my, you know, for my liking.
All the madness.
Look, all the madness. I would say there is a lot of madness in there. Yeah, I'd say there's some. I mean, I bloody loved it, really. I'm not going to give it 5. I'm going to give it 4 because I do think that there's some flaws in there. I do think that not showing more of the multiverse was a missed opportunity big time. But where they take certain characters, I thought was really interesting. And I also think that Benedict Cumberbatch gave his best performance as Doctor Strange. I thought he feels really comfortable in that role. I think Elizabeth Olsen is amazing. I thought she did a fantastic job. And for me, like, it was better than these mere reviews that I've been hearing. So I was pleasantly surprised. I thought I was going to go in there and just give this a flat 3. I'm coming out very positive, giving it a 4. It's not near a 5, but it's a really fun film. I mean, I would definitely watch it again. I'm not saying I'd watch it as much as I'd watch Spider-Man, because I think that the latest Spider-Man, I think, really has that feel-good factor about it. I think this is darker, more sinister. I think there's a lot of really interesting themes at play here, but it's not one you'd, you know, rush home and see. But I would definitely watch it again. So I'd give it a 4 and pleasantly surprised. So anyone sitting on the fence thinking, yeah, the reviews don't look that great, I would, you know, and especially if you'd like some horror stuff, right, Gareth? I would definitely say go in with an open mind and try and just appreciate some of the different things that Sam Raimi is bringing to the MCU here, because I do think he's brought something that we haven't necessarily seen before.
It's it's seasoned with horror. It's still a comic book film, but yeah. Definitely.
He's got the horror shaker out and he's just, you know, sprinkling loads of horror over it in certain moments.
Exactly right.
Yeah, good point. All right, well, that's our spoiler-free thoughts. We're going to have a little advert now. And after that, we're going to get into some spoiler-filled thoughts. So if you don't want to be spoiled, tune off now, go watch it, come back, listen to the rest after you've seen it.
Cumberbatch after you've seen the rest, seen the film. So
yeah, good that. That's good that.
The multiverse is a concept about which we know frighteningly little.
Okay, Gareth, little advert, little plug here. Just to let you know what's coming up on Fan Critical. We, you know, out of nowhere, Stranger Things is back, Gareth. Season 4.
Yep.
We used to do...
I mean, that's not out of nowhere, is it? It's been very well marketed.
Yeah, but they usually come out like in July or August. So it's a bit earlier than usual, even though there has been like a year and a half, 2 year wait. When we used to do like a 3 episodes covering Stranger Things, we're just going to do 1 this year because Netflix is just a flash in the pan, baby. So we've got to get that content out there as quickly as we can. So we bring in a review of that. We've also got a review of Obi-Wan coming out soon, which I am literally buzzing for. I can't tell you how excited I am. Like May 25th or whatever cannot come soon enough, my friends. Buzzing, absolutely buzzing. So we've got a review of that. We've got more 60 Minutes on the way. We've got loads of stuff going on bloody here, haven't we, Gareth?
Oh, so more much. Of these.
More of these, innit?
Yeah. Do you know who listeners might not have heard from for a while as well? Is Lucy and Emma, but they'll be back soon.
Yep. They'll be back sometime soon. Me and Gareth, you know, helming the ship.
Holding the
as
fort.
It were at the moment.
Defending.
Down straight. If you want to help us, you know, hold the fort, sail the ship, whatever metaphor you want to use, you can go to patreon.com/fancritical and you can sponsor us basically with some lovely monies. And that goes towards a lot of costs that we have, a lot of overheads, Gareth.
Yes.
Equipment, hosting costs,
lighting, bills.
Beautiful. Exactly right. Electricity, this heating. Burns the electricity.
Heating, imagine that. It's getting cold here in Australia.
Bloody freezing.
Overnights of like
if you
six.
Picture little Gareth, mini man Gaz, sat there, no clothes on, shivering, naked in the corner, in winter.
I've got some clothes.
Remember, last week, listeners, he passed out in his own feces.
Well, again.
Had an ambulance
feces
over.
Feces wasn't involved.
Now, think about that poor... Like Dobby from Harry Potter, naked in its own feces in the corner. He needs money. Okay, Patreon.com/fancritical. Yeah. Anyway, that's enough of that. Patreon.com/fancritical. Help little Gareth. Thank you very much. Let's move on to spoilers for Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness.
Got my own clothes.
But I never meant for any of this to happen.
Here we go. Now, we're not going to go through it beat by beat because there's a lot to discuss, isn't there, G-Man? A lot to discuss.
Sure. Let's start at the end. No, let's not.
It's not Memento, is it? We did do that once,
we
remember?
We did, yeah.
Caught John off. God, that did, and he got really upset.
Did
remember?
You did what
he
to John?
He hated it. Enough about that. So, okay, here's the premise, right? I'm just going to sell you on the premise, lovely listener, and you've probably seen the film, so you don't need selling on it, but we're going to go through it. There is one being in the multiverse, America Chavez, who has the ability to travel the multiverse at will, and she is on the run from none other than Scarlet Witch, who wants to steal her power and control the multiverse so she can be with her kids, as featured in said WandaVision. America seeks out Doctor Strange in multiple universes and
America,
needs his help.
The character, not the country.
Yeah, correct. Correct, Gareth. Okay, so, first things first, Scarlet Witch in this film is an evil, evil character. Shocked. I'm glad I avoided this spoiler because the way this was pitched was Strange and Wanda... You know, the occult and the sort of mystic arts teaming up to go through the multiverse and you know, save the day.
I thought they were on
Turns
the same
out
side.
That it was, yeah, me too. Turns out that Wanda's gone absolutely crazy because of the Darkhold book. And she's just full evil. And it completely shocked me because at the end of WandaVision, she kind of had that sort of. She had a moment, but she sort of redeemed herself by restoring everything to normal and. You know, erasing her kids, essentially, that were fake, that she had just envisioned. Couple questions here, Gareth. One, Wanda, were you sad to see her go evil? I mean, it was obvious they're going to build her up to be this all-powerful. Kind of reminds me of Buffy season 6 when Willow... turns evil and she's like the evil witch and she's the big bad in that season. It was literally straight out of the Buffy book, Gareth. What do you think about it?
You know, I've never watched Buffy.
I know, and that is a shame because I'll tell you something, it's a fucking great show.
I can watch it. It's on a streaming service in Australia called Stan. So I could watch it all if I wanted. I I think, so this was probably one of my bigger issues with the film, was just like how quickly that turn happened.
Yeah.
And
well, if you haven't seen fucking WandaVision, I'll tell you something right now. You'd be like, that what? Doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, but I have seen WandaVision, and even with that prior knowledge, it still felt too quick because...
Yeah.
Well, I think the problem is that, like, Doctor Strange kind of acknowledges what happened in WandaVision and kind of acknowledges that she redeemed herself, or, like, at least put everything right. And so it's like, okay, we can draw a line under that. And then it's like...
Yeah, lovely.
Yeah, but actually I'm still evil.
It reminds me of how quickly Game of Thrones went to shit in the final season with a certain mother of dragons. Just fucking
keep
out
it
of
vague.
Nowhere.
Yeah, perfect.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, yeah, that's secrets. Yeah, no one will figure that out. It's the Enigma code. Speaking of Vision and WandaVision, where the fuck is White Vision in this film? Where the fuck is he?
Yeah. I don't know.
There's no answer to this, is there? And also,
I'm just trying to think. Did she say anything? Did she say like, what? Oh yeah, he's just gone on a trip to France or something? Like nothing.
Nah. So, White Vision is like, you know, he's gone off to do some processing because he's more robotic than emotion, because he's not really Vision, but he is Vision. You know, it's confusing. Also, why? When her big goal is to, you know, she knows that in other universes her kids are actually alive, and that is her main motivator, is that she wants to see her children and live with her children. So if she gets the power of the multiverse for America Chavez, she can control that. She can cure them if they ever get sick by going to another universe and getting a cure, or she can move to another universe where they're alive again, or whatnot. So it's quite twisted in a way. It's this ultimate feeling of control that she needs. But why does she not want to go to a universe where there's Vision there as well? I was just watching it like the whole time going, so you don't give a fuck about Vision, like the love of your life that you murdered by ripping his life force from his head. And you've mentioned it in the film and how it's a big motivator for you. Why don't you want to find a universe where there's you, Vision and the kids?
So I think it's safe to say the whole Wanda motivation stuff is a bit of a dropped ball, isn't it?
I think so. It's too soon. And as I said, if you haven't seen that TV stuff, I really feel like you're just not getting this. Like, you'd be watching a film going, when the fuck did Wanda have kids? And then you'd be like, you'd be like, have I missed a film? Oh, you've missed a 7-episode season, bro. Anyway, I thought she, you know, considering the fact that, you know, the plot flipped with her, I thought she was fantastic in this movie.
I'm a big fan for lots of reasons.
Yeah, she was menacing. She...
Do you know what I really, really noticed this time, actually, is the sort of like really subtle sort of, or maybe not subtle, but the kind of occasional dipping into the like Soviet accent, like it's just that little bit of like a Russian inflection occasionally with certain words, which is really good. Like that's what it would be like for somebody who kind of didn't a lot of their growing up in America, but
Sokovia
kind of still Sokovia, has that. Yeah. That's yeah, but you know, still has that that Eastern Bloc accent hidden deep down. It was very good.
I thought she was menacing, terrifying. You know, she really was a villain. Probably one of the best villains that the MCU has had. Because you care about her. You know, it's one of these characters. I'd say she's up there, you know, as one of the most fan favorite characters. And to see her turn like this, you don't want her to, you know, you want her to, you don't want her to succeed, but you don't want her to die. You know, you don't want her to do this. So in terms of like, cause we're invested, you know, we've seen her in seven films and a TV show at this point. So we're fully invested in his character. So in terms of that working as a villain, I thought that was good. Anyway, the Darkhold book obviously has corrupted her, Gareth. That is what has happened.
And it's made her fingers all black, isn't it?
Yes, mate. She's in a bad mood. Anyway, so we follow Strange and Chavez as they go through the multiverse to find the mythical Book of Ashanti. Not the R&B artist, Gareth.
I'm not sure she wrote any books.
Might have done. Don't discount her, Gareth. Anyway, this book's meant to be able to defeat Wanda because it gives the Sorcerer Supreme the power that they need to defeat anything. And they go through the multiverse and they get to a dimension that has some real quirks, Gareth. It has some fucking... Listen to this. Listen to this. This is mental, right? They, in this universe, red means go and green means stop.
That is fucking mental.
I couldn't believe it.
I'll tell you what else, mate. Blown my mind. I'll tell you what else. Go on. You reckon that's bad? Next level. Pizza comes in balls.
Fuck off. Are you serious?
No, deadly.
Okay, right. That's it. I've lost it now. They've really gone all out here. They've gone all out with this.
The multiverse of madness.
This is mental. No, I tell you who is mental. Pizza Popper.
He's a fucking
nut job. So anyway, there's this character. I'm sure you've seen it, listeners. But Gareth and me were like, I think we were just a bit bewildered by the dialogue. And we'll get on to end credits later. But it was fucking Bruce Campbell, Gaz. It's fucking Bruce Campbell.
We did say that that's got to be somebody.
Yeah, so we were a bit dazed because the dialogue is so bad. Like, Chavez goes, pizza balls, most food in universes is free. I don't know why you have to pay for it. And then Pizza Popper comes up and goes, hey, I'm Pizza Popper. Pay me for those pizza balls. And she's like, oh, maybe it's not free. And he goes, I know what you are. You're a taker. Here, have some mustard. I'm going to spray mustard in your face. I'm like, what the fuck is going on?
You're a taker. What is that? You're a taker.
It's like a stealer, but in this universe, they call it a taker, Gareth. It's quirky. Hold
on. Do we call them a stealer? Don't we call them thieves? Like, you're a thief.
Hey, you're a stealer.
And then why is he going to put mustard in his face? I don't understand. Oh,
so fucking bad, man. At the time, I was like, that must be someone, but I didn't have time to really think about it. But it's Bruce Campbell, Gareth.
He must be in Sam Raimi movies.
What do you mean? Evil Dead?
That's his connection. Yeah, of course.
Yeah, he literally has a cameo in pretty much every Sam Raimi movie. We should have been looking out for him. Anyway, Pizza Popper, obviously the star of this dimension. We learn that Strange saved Earth, defeating Thanos, but then he died. However, it's later revealed to Strange by the Illuminati that Strange became corrupted by the Darkhold, inadvertently destroyed a reality, and was then executed for doing so. Also, it seems that Strange, in pretty much every universe, gets corrupted and does something fucked up, which is kind of a horrible thing to know, that you're always doomed to be a fuck-up.
Well, you say in pretty much every universe, like in the two other universes that we see.
Yep, big time.
Yeah. I mean, that's not enough of a sample size, is it?
No. All right, Gareth, this is the fucking meat and potatoes here that, you know when you got loads of like nerds and geeks, I'm putting myself in that category as well, and they're all like dripping with sweat in the cinema because they're just so excited.
Yeah.
And you get something like the Illuminati turning up, and then the sweat starts dripping even more, and they start pushing their glasses up to their face.
Yeah, you were
face.
Fully like snorting.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Because
they steamed up as well, didn't they? You had to take them off and wipe them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So the Illuminati turn up, and my palms are getting lovely and rubbing it together, going, oh, the Illuminati, lovely.
Yeah.
And here's the lineup. Mordo, from the original Doctor Strange. Captain Carter. Reed Richards, played by John Krasinski, which I thought was very cool.
Yeah.
Captain Marvel, which is Rambo instead of what's her name? Brie Larson. Anyway, and the leader of the Inhumans, Black Bolt, and of course, and finally, some might say, an X-Men member in the MCU, Charles Xavier, playing Professor X again, and he's always fantastic. I fucking love Patrick Stewart. And just seeing him reprise the role of Professor X, you know, bloody loved it.
He looked old though, didn't he?
He did he look old. Yeah, he's meant to be old.
I know. But he struggled a bit. There's a scene where he's walking and it's like, he's struggling to do that, isn't he?
Bless him. Leave him alone, mate. Come on.
No, I love him. It's just,
fucking, don't you stop having a go at him, all right? I'll fucking go mental. All right, so you calm down. I'll go Multiverse of Madness.
I'm just worried about him, that's all.
Okay, all right. Well, tell him that. Write him a letter.
I might.
Do it now.
I might. I already have.
Anyway.
Yeah, I liked them. I did. I thought this is a little bit... it's a little bit bleak, isn't it? If this is your universe's answer to the Avengers, like... It's quite basic. Well,
so a little Illuminati knowledge for you, Gareth, because I know you're not into your fucking, you know, comic books.
Yeah, go on.
Yeah? They exist in our Earth as well, you know, the Avengers. You know, the Illuminati does get set up. It has several different iterations. They do preside over defending the Earth in a more secretive manner, which lends itself into... where I think the MCU is building towards, which is something called the Secret Wars. And they predominantly deal with basically stopping... In the film, remember they said about incursions, which is where realities start crossing over and then they get destroyed. One dimension basically destroys the other. That essentially is what their job is, to stop those incursions.
It's very specific, isn't it?
Well, you know how Thanos wiped out like half of the universe? These things wipe out the entire universe. So it's double the jeopardy, Gareth. So there needs to be a bit more thought, okay? Yeah?
Well,
so that's what they do.
But why is like one of the guys that's going to stop universes colliding, why is he just a stretchy man?
Reed Richards. Yeah. Well, Reed Richards isn't just a stretchy man. He has that sort of that Iron Man quality to him, where he's a genius.
He's got that leadership authority.
He's got the brains. Yeah, he's got the brains. Yeah. No, and he's John Krasinski. Yeah?
Sure.
He's awesome. So that was interesting.
All right. Why is a fork guy going to do this? I don't like...
Black Bolt.
Yeah.
Well, Gareth, Black Bolt can destroy you with... one whisper out of his mouth, yeah?
His power is cool. I'm not going to lie. That is a fucking cool power. Like,
it's fucking destructive, yeah.
When you see it in action, it's like, whoa, that's nuts.
It's pretty cool.
But how's it stopping a universe from colliding with my universe?
Good point, Gareth. Nah, it's the same with any sort of Avengers shit. It's like some of the heroes, like, I feel for like Captain America, you know, because it's like, and even Captain Carter in this film, it's like they've got super strength. But then you're putting him up against like Thanos. It's like game over, mate. Doesn't matter if you've got Mjolnir or not. You're fucked.
An arm wrestle ain't winning this one.
What I did like about this version of the Illuminati was how brutally they were dispatched and dismembered, Gareth. And this is where the film goes full fucking Sam Raimi. You know, Scarlet Witch comes into the room covered, drenched in blood, basically. Limping, fucking, you know, she's been in the wars, and she presides over getting rid of Black Bolt's mouth so that his power makes his head like implode from the inside. Reed Richards is literally unraveled. Captain Carter's chopped in half
by her own shield.
Yeah, Captain Marvel is crushed by a statue. You know, the list goes on. It was awesome. And I say this in a very macabre way. I love things like the What If show on Disney Plus, where it shows heroes getting killed and alternate universes where stuff's, you know, different and wrong. I love, like, the Justice League, the latest animated of that, where everything goes to shit and people, like, they're getting ripped asunder. It's awesome. I love seeing my favourite superheroes get massacred, Gareth, basically, which is quite a macabre thing to say. So I loved all this.
You're a worry, you are. I'm concerned. But yeah, no, this it was a very good scene. And yeah, it was brutal. I wondered about some of the sort of political messaging, like, you know, Captain Carter, you know, the representing the UK being cut in half by her own shield. I wonder what that says about, you know, the voting power of the British people.
You know, as a proud British man, Britain is fucked at the moment, and that is all I'll say on the matter. So,
yeah.
Anyway, you know, it's nice to have these horror vibes come into a Marvel film, because, like I said, you know, there's impalings in this, Gareth. There's, you know, there's actual blood. You know, you've got Wanda limping like the Terminator at the end of the Terminator, the original, through a hallway covered in blood. That slasher movie vibe takes me back to The Evil Dead, which is possession-based horror, which gets very campy, but also at times, you know, at the time was absolutely fucking groundbreaking. And now has a huge cult following, obviously. Things like Drag Me to Hell, you know, the same vibes. And all of this is coming through into a Marvel film, which I thought was great. You know, something different. You know, people were a bit mad it didn't go more into the horror. But like we said, I think if you're taking a 10-year-old or an 11-year-old or younger to this film, I would be, I wouldn't do that, I don't think.
No, you know? Don't think so.
I don't think I'd take, you know, little Alfie to this if he was 10, you know? I wouldn't do it.
I mean, he's 7 months. That's a ludicrous decision.
Hey, Alfie, you want to go see Doctor Strange Multiverse of Madness? Yeah, well, Dad would love to do that. All right, you can't do it, mate. You're not old enough, right?
No, not until you're 10. 10 and 7
exactly
months.
Exactly right, 10 months. Yeah.
Well, I reckon, I don't know, like... I don't think you can go much deeper into the horror vibes for a Marvel film, and I think it is plenty. It's enough for it to add something different to a Marvel film, which, you know, I'm desperate for. Like, every Marvel film I'm watching, I'm like, give me something different, and it has enough. I think it works. Mm-hmm. I think it's a good amount, while still, you know, maintaining what it is. Which is a Marvel film.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. It still has the skeleton is Marvel, you know, but the flesh and the organs around it has a bit more sinister vibes to it.
Mm-hmm. Like Doctor Strange at one point.
Yeah, true. This movie is kind of about, you know, Doctor Strange. He keeps getting asked this question throughout the film, Gareth, which is, you know, are you happy, Stephen? And that is a confronting question. And I was thinking, you know, this is one of those questions that if someone asks you, like, are you happy? It's like, it's a confronting question. It makes you question everything, you know. And
you want to get into this now?
Deep. Let's have a counselling session right here, right now. But no, it's like true. Like he had, you know, he's like, yeah, I'm happy, yeah. But he's obviously not, because he, and if anyone has seen Marvel's What If season, did you watch that, Gareth? You didn't watch that?
No.
Episode 4 of that is a Doctor Strange episode. And spoilers for that, it kind of leans into this. It's a story about how in an alternate universe, he loses Christine. She dies. And he has the choice as Sorcerer Supreme to try and stop that from happening. However, that is a certainty. It's something that's described as she is going to die in every universe. And there's nothing he can do to stop it. And he goes on this crusade to find a way to stop it. And it leads him down this path to madness, which then creates Evil Strange. And I will tell you this, Gareth, I think it's a fantastic episode of television. It's beautiful. It's terrifying. It's voiced by Benedict Cumberbatch. The animation's amazing. And it leans heavily into the ending of this film because he confronts Evil Strange here. And there's a similar outcome in the animated episode. And in this iteration, Good Strange wins. And then the end of the movie happens, which is he possesses a zombie Strange. Do you like that, Gareth? A little possessing of zombie Strange in a different universe to save the day.
I did like it. I mean, very Sam Raimi.
Literally, very Sam Raimi.
Literally, this was proper zombie Evil hand Dead. Out the ground. Like,
that awesome.
Was, yeah. Yeah.
Awesome.
I liked it.
And I think this is the thing. If people don't like Sam Raimi movies, then I don't think you're going to get these little references and these moments. It's just going to be a bit like, this is a bit weird. But if you've watched his back catalogue and followed his career, then this is just glorious to see these things in a Marvel movie.
Yeah. I mean, I think, do you know, I think the little, like, the little demons that come and are like,
oh,
stop
yeah.
it. Stop it.
Hey.
Stephen
hey,
Strange.
Come here.
Hey. I think
they
sound
like the jockeys out of The Simpsons. Yeah, you know the ones
exactly.
I mean?
Yeah.
Gold. We want gold. Gold.
They could have been a bit scarier.
That's not Drag Me to Hell, though. Like, anyone who's not seen that, there's a similar thing in Drag Me to Hell. So, it's,
yeah.
Well, check it out.
But no, it was. It's funny because this is on paper maybe the scariest sort of part of the film, but it's not. Like, it's maybe
the campest,
the silliest,
probably.
And the campest. Yeah. But I really liked it. Mm. Yeah. You know, there's something kind of charming about Cumberbatch doing his sort of, you know how Doctor Strange has that sort of half lisp, and how it's kind of still there even though this version of Doctor Strange is missing half his jaw, he still manages to do his little strange lisp. I like it.
But Zombie Strange is able to empower America Chavez to use her own powers against Scarlet Witch. And what she does is she shows her reality where her kids are there, and then Scarlet Witch confronts her kids. The kids are terrified. Her other, in that dimension, the Scarlet Witch is nice and she's there and she gets injured and they're terrified and they hate this new Scarlet Witch. And she says, you know, I'm not a monster. And then she, you know, twigs. She's like, oh, yeah. I've killed a lot of people. I am a total monster. I've done something terrible. And she leaves that dimension and she decides to kill herself and destroy the temple where all the Darkhold etchings are.
Just, by the way, that temple, very Lovecraft. So
yeah, very
Lovecraft.
Super monolithian, Lovecraftian, yeah. And that's the end of Scarlet Witch, Gareth. Dead.
In this universe.
And, well, yeah, this is the thing. But I think she's gone for now. It's a sad end for such a beloved character. And that's why I think, you know, it resonates with the audience because we care about her. And it's just when you see characters you love go the way this way, which can happen. And in some of the best stories, it's the way it goes. You know, it's a tragedy. It's a tragedy, really, for the MCU. But it had to happen. There was a point in this movie where I'd looked and she's, you know, it was probably after she'd just obliterated the Illuminati and she's like chopping them in half and stuff. And I was just like, there's no way you can survive this film. Like, this, if she turned around and went, yeah, I'm really sorry.
Yeah. sorry about that.
I was sitting there thinking, there's no way you can come back from this. Like, it's game over for you as a character. But
her death toll in this film is through the roof.
Oh, it's insane. And if she had got Chavez's power, you know, she probably would have killed all of the universes in some way. You know what I mean? Or killed whatever whoever she needed to get what she wanted. So it's a terrifying prospect, Gareth, but she's dead now. So that's that. And okay, as I said, sad end for Wanda Maximoff. Very sad end. And that's the end of the movie, Gareth. Basically, multiverse is now an option because Chavez is alive. She's been trained by the Mystic Arts. So that's definitely going to happen.
Yeah.
I thought what would be good next, Gareth, unless you've got anything to add on the main film, any thoughts, any extra musings? If I missed something that you wanted to bring up?
No. I like Chavez's like portal. How it's a star. It's quite cool.
It's very Super Mario. Very Super Mario. I was watching it like
quite video game.
Mario Galaxy or something. Like, what is this? Weird. Is it a star because it's America?
I think so.
Like,
yes.
It's a bit bizarre, isn't it?
Yeah, it's weird.
Do you know what, Gav? I'm into my comics, obviously, and I know my knowledge of bits and pieces, but America Chavez for me is a huge, and pardon the pun, black hole.
Oh.
You know, of knowledge for me. Because I don't know much about the character, but...
Shouldn't travel via black hole, so it doesn't work as a pun at all.
Well, close enough. So anyway, let's talk about these end credits.
She is a huge universal portal to me.
Okay, mate.
Cheers. Pardon the pun.
End credits.
Oh, God.
So in the mid-credits scene, because these days you get like two, right? So,
yeah.
We had to stick around. It's late at night. It's a Monday night. I was like, Gareth, we've got to stick around for these credit scenes because we've got to talk about them on the podcast. You're like, oh, for fuck's sake, do we have to? Because he knows one's right at the end. Anyway, the mid-credits one actually gives us something pretty useful. Strange, recovered, from his whole ordeal. He now has a third eye, which is... maybe something that Darkhold has done to him. Like, you know, it takes a toll on people and he did use it to save the universe. But in the comics, it's kind of part of the Eye of Agamotto, you know, the necklace around his neck. That is like one of its powers is to like see through like lies, deceit, all that sort of stuff. It's the third eye, Gareth, you know, the typical sort of third eye jargon.
Got it.
And out of nowhere, a little portal opens up. He's just, you know, he's got a little scarf on. He's walking through the streets. A little portal opens up. And out pops fucking Charlize Theron.
Is that an alternate universe version of her?
Yeah, Charlize Theron. Yeah. So Charlize Theron pops out. And her name's Clea, Gareth. Clea. All right. And she's a core character of Doctor Strange and his storylines. She's a Sorcerer Supreme herself.
Yeah? Well, she's a bit annoyed at another dimension, isn't she?
Yeah. And she's a future love interest to Strange. So now that we've got rid of all this Christine shit, yeah, he can start getting together with Clea, Charlize Theron.
Charlize Theron. Yeah. Lucky boy.
So what do you think about that? You happy about that? Strange getting some.
I'm incredibly indifferent to that information.
Oh, yeah.
But okay. I don't know. Do you know, like, I'm always a bit cynical about love interests in films, like unnecessary love interests. It doesn't need it. Why is it needed? You know?
What do you mean? It's like it gives characters greater purpose.
Well,
like,
no, I mean, this is a man who has unlocked like the cosmic wonders of the world, of the universe. Uh-huh.
But isn't that beautiful how even though he's got all of those powers, and it's what Evil Strange says to him, and the reason why he brings down his whole fucking universe to find a universe where he can be with Christine and causes an incursion, is because even though he has godlike powers and all this stuff, the one thing he wanted was a connection with someone, and he lost it.
Yeah, well, so, why can't that quite be a connection with, you know, Wong or something? Like, just a forced love interest for me.
Mm-hmm.
I just, it's too obvious. It's too easy. It's too easy. It's too obvious. And it happens all the time. Sack them off sometimes. Right. Give me a film without
Jesus.
One.
Okay, mate. Chill out. Well, I gave you Eternals, which didn't have a love interest. It had that really sweet relationship between Thena and the other one. And you didn't like that film either, so I can't fucking win with you, can I?
Wasn't enough love in that one.
Bloody hell.
Find a balance.
Anyway, so let's set the scene. Monday night, mid-credits is finished. We've got to wait like 7 minutes because there's a million credits during a Marvel
film.
There's
so many credits. And I'll tell you what, there was one point where I was watching the credits so closely and I noticed that some, because you know how like they have like big groups of names together. It'll be like the VFX team or something. And then it'll be, you know, the LA team. And so there'll be like a big thing of them. I noticed halfway through that some of them went alphabetical by first name, whereas others went alphabetical by surname. And I tell you what, that was the most interesting thing that I saw.
Before the end credits scene.
before what happened next.
Fucking hell. So we wait around all that time and the screen opened, you know, the scene opens up and it's just fucking Pizza Poppy or Pizza Papa or whatever the fuck he's called, hitting himself. And then it stops and he goes, "It's finished! It's finished!" And that's it, Gareth. And that's all we had, Pizza Papa.
Is it the worst post-credit scene? Oh.
I mean, it's fucking hilarious, to be honest with you, really. They've absolutely done us there, haven't they? They're like, "Oh yeah, stick around for this shit." Bruce Campbell just hitting himself for a couple minutes.
This character that none of you liked in the first place. We're going to bring him back.
Fuck, you know. But we have to do it, Gareth. It's our job to stick around for these things for people, yeah?
Yeah.
We're not hacks. We're just professionals.
Now, well, I'd just like to say to the listeners, hang around for the end of our podcast. We'll have a post-credit scene as well.
Will we? Ooh. No, we won't. We definitely won't.
No, don't hang around.
I haven't scripted anything, so don't even think about it. Last thing to talk about, Gareth, is just where I think this is leading the MCU, which is the Secret Wars, which is what I've mentioned, which is essentially... how do I describe this? So how do you get bigger than destroying half the universe? You destroy every universe in the multiverse.
It's okay? Too much, though, isn't it?
And that is where it's going, though, Gareth, because the Secret Wars basically is them trying to stop what I think is going to be retooled, because in the comics it's different, but they're setting up Kang the Conqueror, and they did it in Loki series to essentially say that he is hell-bent, or some versions of him in realities is hell-bent on conquering the multiverse. Now, this is going to lead to essentially the obliteration of every universe apart from one little planet that will survive. And on that planet, Gareth, heroes will be melancholic and they will sit there and think, what can we do to
planet Earth
to fix this? And then they'll have to think of a way to fix it. And it's going to I see it following the Infinity Saga in terms of a two-parter. Eventually, I think this will happen. I'm talking this will probably happen 10 years down the line, bro. I'm thinking this is 10 years away. But it will be like the first one will finish with the destruction of all the universes, and the second one will be how do they fix it all. You know what I mean?
God.
So
I can't tell you how
10 years away.
Much I'm like, that doesn't appeal to me. Like, it gets to a point where it's like, this stops meaning anything. Like, you've done the whole universe. That's fine.
Yeah.
We can't really conceive of, you know, doing it to multiple universes. It doesn't work on a conceptual level. Like,
look, this is a Leonard theory. This is a Leonard and a Reddit theory. It's not necessarily.
I know, but it feels very likely. I think you get to a global or universal level, and then really you have to wind it down, localize it
bit, bring it personal, make personal, baby.
Do a few smaller scale stories. That would be quite interesting.
No, I do agree with that, and I'm interested to see where the MCU goes. You know, we've talked about this many times. If the MCU had finished after the Infinity War saga, we would have been delighted, and people would be saying it's one of the greatest achievements of all time, and they probably are still saying that. But you know, Disney have this huge problem on their hands. This is a printing money machine, bro. Doctor Strange is like already the 10th highest grossing film ever or something, or on track to be in the top 10.
We're talking
billions of dollars every single fucking time they release a movie, bro. Do you think Mickey Mouse is sitting there in his fucking penthouse, you know, apartment, swimming in cash, Minnie just getting out of the shower? You think he's sitting there saying, "Oh, stop making these movies"?
No, do you know what? I'd love to see those board meetings, because I reckon Donald Duck is like true to his sort of, you know, his roots, and he remembers the original vision, and he's like, "Mickey, you've got to remember what were we in this for to start with?" And Mickey's exactly like, right. "Fuck off, Donald. I'm not giving up this extra $1 billion that's coming from churning out another copy cut film." Not that this was a copy cut film. It wasn't.
This one isn't. No. And as I said, the next one, Thor, Love and Thunder, I think will be very good because it's Taika Waititi. You know, it's got the humor. It's going to be a follow on from the vibes we got from Ragnarok, which we all loved. So I do think that'll be a lot of fun. All right.
Okay.
But yeah, anyway, Gareth, that's our review. Thank you, dear listener, for sticking around. We really do appreciate it. We hope that you've stuck with us for our mad ramblings on the multiverse. And it's been a lot of fun, hasn't it, Gareth? You know, it's a fun film to talk about, I think.
We've visited over 2.5 universes.
2.5 universes. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, thanks, guys. Really appreciate it. Gareth and me will be back sometime soon. As I said, there's going to be reviews of Stranger Things Season 4. There's going to be reviews of Obi-Wan. There's going to be another 60 Minutes. Lucy and Emma are coming back. It's all going on here at Fan Critical. And as I said, if you do want to help little Gareth shivering in the cold, naked, patreon.com/fancritical. Wintertime is very harsh here in Australia, and any help would be massively appreciated. patreon.com/fancritical. We'll catch you on the next one, guys. And don't worry, the never-ending Marvel content will continue.
Yay.
Thanks.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.